Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 14th day of October, Anno Domini 2023, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Edwin.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, we are going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Have you paid your dues? Here comes the news.
You know one thing we're going to miss out on, though, today?
No, what?
The eclipse.
The eclipse. It's, starting now.
Yeah. Too
well,
cloudy.
We'll see the darkness happening through the door. That's pretty much the best we get. Before we get to the news, the most important piece of news is that, yes, we are in a pledge drive. That's it. Most of you are very familiar with this by now.
Yeah.
We come to you twice a year. Asking for your donations. We are, of course, a public radio station. And unlike a lot of other public radio stations around the country, we don't have a lot of corporate sponsors or government money or any of that stuff.
I hate to tell you, we got zero.
We get approximately zero.
Zero government sponsorship.
That's exactly right. So we need your pledge, and it's very easy to make that pledge. All you have to do is call 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free at 800-790-0415. You'll talk to the lovely and talented Cheryl, who will be happy to take your pledge. And if you'd like to talk to us, she will forward you on to us. We do have a person or two on the line. We'll get to them as soon as we're done pitching and as soon as we're done with the news. So, yeah, look, are you guys sitting down?
Yeah.
We don't get paid to do this.
I can.
Still, we do not get paid
you
to do
promised,
this.
You promised, though.
I did promise, and I lied, okay? I lied to you. Get you into the studio every week, and that's what counts.
33 years, and it still hasn't changed.
Exactly. We don't get paid. Most of the people on the air here don't get paid. There's only a couple of people who are actual employees of the station. And so all the money that you give us goes to keeping this station on the air and to getting the shows that we do pay for. But most of the shows, most of all the DJs are,
volunteers.
And so your pledges go a lot farther than you might think they do. And if you go to the Jazz 90.1 website at jazz901.org, you'll see the big donate button and that'll lead you to, all of the levels where you can get t-shirts and caps and
CDs
socks and CDs and just all kinds of great, premiums for your pledge. And if you scroll farther down, you'll see one of the choices is Sound Bites, and we would very much appreciate it if you would use that. Or, of course, when you call Cheryl, if you call Cheryl, then she will mark you down as a Sound Bites listener. And that's always good for us because then we can go to Rob and say, look at all the people who pledged around our show.
Yeah,
we're
it
popular.
Shows that, and I know you folks have heard this story before. But it's thanks to Rob that we're still on the air.
Right.
Because it was over 14 years ago that we were working at another radio station, as you folks well know about that. And we were let go. And Rob gave us a call and said, let's meet for lunch. And we said, oh, okay. And sat down for lunch. And he goes, all right, one order of business. I've got a 2-hour slot on Saturday, so I'm 12 to 2. How soon can you guys start?
Yeah.
We gave him a date and said, okay, let's order. And that's the way it's been. He took a chance on an all, you know, music radio station to put a talk show.
About computers, yeah. No less.
Think about it, folks. You know, it's just not like we're talking about the weather or current affairs or anything else. No, we've been here 14 years talking about computers, and you folks have supported us for 14 years.
And that's the only reason we're still here, yeah. Is your support. So make that call. Make that pledge, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415 or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And now I will read the first news story and then we will get to the phones. It hasn't been a great time in recent quarters for PC companies, but with IDC, Gartner, and Canalys all reporting data for Q3 2023, it shows an improving landscape. While shipments still declined between 7 and 9%, depending on whose data you look at, the decline was slowing. But perhaps the biggest surprise in these numbers was the fact that Apple was the biggest loser this quarter, with numbers declining between 23 and 29%. In spite of all those declines, the consensus is that the long PC market decline may be over, and we could be headed for better days with the holiday shopping season approaching in the final quarter. IDC's Jitesh Ubrani agreed with a caveat. The PC industry is on a slow path to recovery as a device refresh cycle and end of support for Windows 10 will help drive sales in the second half of 2024 and beyond. In the meantime, the PC industry will unfortunately experience more pain. When you look at individual manufacturers, Apple experienced by far the biggest decline, with various analysts reporting somewhere between a 23 and 29% drop in sales. The only other company with double-digit reductions was Asus, with a 10.7 to 11.5 drop. I run an Asus computer. I love it. I love it. If you're looking for the only company in positive territory, that would be HP, with around a 6.5% increase. Canalyst Kieran Jessup sees AI as being a huge boost in the PC market in the coming years. Canalyst forecasts an adoption of AI-capable PCs will accelerate from 2025 onward, with such devices accounting for around 60% of all PCs shipped in 2027. Vendors and channel partners who seize this opportunity will benefit from both the higher prices AI-capable PCs command and the wider opportunities to provide services and solutions in addition to hardware. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is I'm planning on buying a new computer or laptop. Your choices are by the end of the year, next year sometime, new, I only buy refurbished. Nah, a new tablet maybe. Does a Raspberry Pi count in this economy? And I love all of these choices. So far, we've got 22 votes, and I love all of these choices. Just 23 votes, I beg your pardon, has edged out in this economy. So you can give us a vote at soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. Then head on over to jazz901.org and make a pledge. And, of course, give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299, toll-free 800-790-0415.
I've been saying that for the past year or so, that, you know, both on the PC and the Mac side, the big boxes are slowly disappearing.
Yep.
You just don't go into any of the stores nowadays and see these big honking, you know, desktop computers, whether it's a pizza box or the towers or that. It's all tablets and laptops.
Yep.
That's what they're pushing. And now the Chromebooks have, you know, pretty well got their niche in the most of the hard, you know, say the retail stores.
Yep.
Because they're so universal, easy to set up. They don't get viruses. And it's all cloud-based.
I mean, and they just did the coolest thing. Google has come out now with the Chromebook Plus, which is faster and more RAM and et cetera, et cetera. And there's actually a commercial for Chromebooks now. I mean, they had some at the very beginning and then just a drought for years. And now there's one about a Chromebook Plus. And the fact that you can do graphics manipulation and sound manipulation.
Do more than you thought you could is their tagline.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's pretty nice.
I don't get it, though. My one Windows machine just did an update, and I am really perplexed with Chrome. In that, I had this, you know, emails. A number of my emails got deleted. I can't find them in the trash. Nowhere. Because I've been corresponding with this individual about this one program and setting it up and everything else. We've been kind of, and I had quite a few, and I even had some saved in my off the side folder. They're gone.
Well, Dave, it's Microsoft.
I didn't do anything to, and the same with some of the other tabs that I was, you know, within Facebook, some of the other stuff I was following, those, gone.
Yeah, who knows?
It's like, really?
Yeah.
One of the weird things in the Apple community is, yeah, their sales are down for the third quarter. They were down 1% year over year. But revenue is up 5%.
Right.
So they're selling less things, but more expensive
right. yeah.
of those less things.
Well, when your phone starts at $1,000.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Actually, they don't. They start at $400.
No, I understand.
But the commercials make you, because right. they always tout the biggest, bestest phone, and you see that $1,000 mark. And so we get a lot of people come in, well, I need a new phone, but I don't want to spend $1,000. Well, how about this brand new phone that's $400? Looks exactly like the phone you got now. And that's a big deal for a lot of people.
That's a big deal for yeah. a lot of people. That's exactly right. All right. Before we get to the phones, let me, we've had a couple of pledges. Thank you very much. Our friend Dolores, God bless you. Wow.
Oh,
thank you,
sweetie.
Dolores. That's our friend D. And Bill. Thank you, Bill, very much. Thank you very much to both of you. This is great.
Helps and
you,
keep us on the air.
And you too can pledge. You can pledge one of three ways, or all three ways. Why limit yourself? 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or, of course, pledge securely online at jazz901.org. While you do that, we'll talk to David from Penfield, New York, who's been waiting on the line very patiently. Thank you, David.
Hey, Nick.
Hi.
I got a crazy problem.
Okay.
I've been on email for about 43 years now or so.
Right.
For all of that time, up until about a month, 3 weeks ago, I've been using Exchange for servers. First at Kodak, and then in a retirement activity where the trade association provided an email on the Exchange server, and I've kind of gotten hooked on the Exchange server. I like it.
Okay.
Using Outlook. However, my most recent 10 years has been with GoDaddy, and everything was fine up until 3 weeks ago. All of a sudden, 3 weeks ago, things started happening, and I basically lost my email. The first thing that happened was all of a sudden I started getting a whole bunch of stuff quarantined by something called Proofpoint or Proofpoint Essentials that apparently GoDaddy or Microsoft introduced that I had never seen before, and about half or two-thirds of my mail was going into a spam filter. I had to go to an online account to recover that. I asked GoDaddy, can't we get rid of the spam filter? I said, yeah, we can set the account up on a new program, and we'll just transition your old account. And I said, fine. And they said, you'll have to sign up for a new account, and you'll lose about a month of your old subscription. But I said, go. And they said, it might take 24 hours. Yeah, okay. I'm still waiting. There have been innumerable things, and every time I call them, I get the answer, give us another 24 hours, or give us another 48 hours, we'll get it fixed. Nothing. And every time I call in, I get a different person to call. I'm looking for a recommendation as some local outfit that will deal with an individual to help set up a server. I do have my own domain so that that can be moved, and I trust that my email address can be moved too. Where do I go to find somebody who can help me set it all up all over again?
A local company that does...
Most local companies are set up for businesses.
Right. Yeah, that's the problem.
But I'm sure a lot of them might do an individual user. One of the first things I might talk about is Exchange has had a huge number of horrible vulnerabilities lately,
right?
And have lost millions of mails for millions of their customers. So most people are trying to get away from Exchange now. Can you look in the Yellow Pages anymore?
You can online if you want to.
Yeah.
I've gone online. I've tried to find people who provide support, and it's difficult. There's nobody. I called Just Solutions, which was highly recommended. They don't really deal with individuals. They're corporate. No criticism of that. It's just that that's their business model. I'm looking for somebody who will support an individual. Where do I look?
Yeah, we support individuals, but generally speaking, they pick their own mail host. But if you want to, if you want, you can give our office a call. Well, we're there till 1 o'clock today, and then Monday morning, and we can work with you to help find the best mail provider for you. It sounds like GoDaddy isn't working out for you, so we can move to a different mail provider. Of some sort.
Okay. There are name or phone number to call.
There are quite a number of them locally. I am looking at the Yellow Pages.
Please turn down your radio?
My radio is not on.
Huh? We're gonna.
You're getting an echo from
somewhere. We're getting a bad echo.
I don't know why, but
I'm sorry. I'm older, and my phone goes through my hearing aids.
Not a problem.
That's okay. Mine do the same thing.
So let me make a suggestion.
At the problem you use all the assist you can get.
Yeah, welcome to that club. Here's the thing I just did. I'm afraid I'm a little out of touch with who does web hosting these days. But what I did was I went to Google and I said Yellow Pages, Rochester, New York.
Okay.
And I found the Yellow Pages listings for Rochester, New York. And then in the search bar, I typed in web hosting.
Or email hosting.
Okay.
And a bunch of them came up. The problem is I just don't have, I don't know them anymore.
Just call them and ask them what services they provide and kind of get an idea for cost.
Okay. The gentleman who commented just a few minutes ago that call his office. Can I have his office number?
Steve, was you.
Yeah, can we give that up? It's
585-924-1920.
We primarily deal with Macs, but we do all sides.
Right.
Okay.
They're agnostic.
Yep.
And I don't know whether I even need an Exchange server anymore. I am using a laptop and a desktop, and I like to have everything sort of synchronized between the two, and I don't know any other way to do it except with an Exchange server.
No, there's 100,000 ways to do it.
Yeah, any mail service would work. IMAP is generally how you deal with mail servers now. Exchange was always a proprietary format that no one liked. Outside of Microsoft, enterprise customers,
right?
It doesn't matter who your server is and what your client is.
I personally have two sets of servers, mail servers. Some of them go through Gmail, even though they have my own domain name on them, and some of them are just directly at my hosting company. So far I have not had, knock on wood, any trouble in, 25 years? So you don't need Exchange.
Okay. Then maybe I ought to call Steve and get some basic advice as to how to catch up. I
guess
I started with Exchange servers way back in the 80s and Kodak days, and I just got spoiled.
They were the big choice in enterprises because that's what Microsoft really pushed.
Yeah, and you're overcomplicating something that can be made very simple.
Now they're in a fight with Google because Google has been pushing a lot in schools and now into businesses as well.
Right,
using Google servers instead of Microsoft servers.
Right. And I gotta say that I have lost touch, and I feel bad that I've lost touch with a lot of these places. There's a lot of them in town. Holy mother of pearl!
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, that's where we stand. And you know, when you talk to Steve, one of the things you're going to see is how much storage you have. So if you're on a Microsoft server, you have 5 gig. If you're on a Google server, it's 15 gig.
Free, and then you buy more if you need to.
Right, you can buy more if you need to. On my hosting company, I'm paying for unlimited.
We've had several customers who've had to take off of Exchange because 100 gigs is the maximum Exchange allows.
Right.
Hard-coded into the server.
Right.
And we've got several customers with terabytes of mail that... they won't delete.
Mine is that not that large particularly anymore. But I, you know, if I could, can I make a date with you when I call in, Steve, and come in Monday morning and sit down and get some basic advice? I'm out of touch.
Yeah, that can help you with that when you call the office.
Okay, I will call the office. Is Monday morning a good time to come in? Are you there?
I don't know yet. Depends. I haven't seen my schedule for Monday yet.
I will call the office and make a date with you then. And I just didn't know where to go. So I thought, okay, I'll call you guys.
Yep. That's the way it works.
We can tell you where to go.
Yep. We're happy to tell you where to go.
Hey, Steve told me where to go a good many times back in the old, what was the club we had? The
Apple Cider.
Apple Cider, yep.
No, before Apple Cider. The PC Club.
Oh, PC Cubed.
PC Cubed.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. We
remember that.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Thanks, David.
Pleasantly surprised. Don't rely on the email from your internet provider.
Right.
Because it makes it hard to change internet providers. But then we usually don't move on and say whose email you should use.
Right.
Mostly because there's hundreds of choices.
There are so many choices.
And for an individual, we often see that Gmail is fine. Apple users, you can get a free iCloud Mail account. Microsoft still offers their Hotmail.com, Live.com, Outlook.com.
Right.
Which are all sort of merged together. But we've seen Microsoft hasn't been very good at email spam filtering. And the vulnerabilities and exploits in the Exchange servers have been just horrible the last few years.
And I will say that Google has so far, from my experience, been the best for spam filtering.
Yeah.
Just amazingly good. My domains that go through Gmail get very, very, very little spam.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, contrasting that to the ones that don't go through Gmail, I get a lot of spam.
Yeah.
There are a lot of alternatives and a lot of opportunities to get mail out there. And finding the right places is something that the experts can help you with. All right, we're going to take a quick break. If you're on the line, please stay on the line. If you're not on the line, give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. And you can pledge there, too, or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Back in a minute or two.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Before we go back to the phones, let me just say that, to build on what Steve said at the end of the last segment, you don't need to have your email address at your internet service provider. It's actually desirable to not have your email address at your internet service provider. And you don't have to have only one email address. And it is desirable to have multiple email addresses because they can back each other up. Mm-hmm. What we're discovering is people are losing access to email. Well, if you've got a second address that's been authorized, they can write you there to get you back on. And, you know, if you lose your Facebook stuff, then you can, you know, and so having more than one address is not a bad thing. Well, there's 100 free places you can get address email.
But, a lot of them are worth what you pay for them.
There's no question of that.
And that becomes the big problem we run into is people don't want to pay $4 or $5 a month for email. So one latte a month.
Right.
Yeah. But we've been recommending people have at least two addresses. So one email address you give to your friends that you want to email a lot with, use another email address that you log into places with.
Right.
Because that's often how your email gets sold to companies and filled up with spam. So then it's very easy to stop looking at that email.
Right.
I signed up for this thing I wanted to buy, and I don't want to get anything from that company again ever. I just ignore their email. So actually, a lot of services are now offering throwaway email addresses.
Right.
That it will come to your inbox at your real address, but the other end never gets your real address, and it's easy to cancel when you don't want it anymore.
I have a number of domains of my own, and each of them has an email server.
Yep.
So I have one domain that I have a throwaway email address, and I wrote a filter for that one that basically says if an email comes in, put it in trash, and a day later, delete it.
Perfect.
So I can go look at it.
Yep.
If it comes in a day later, put it in trash and delete it. So I can go look at it if the it says here's your code, right? But then I never have to worry about it again or see it again.
Yep.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is probably somebody, Gary from Rochester, New York. Hi, Gary. What's up?
Hi. I had a theoretical question for you, and it's pretty global, and you may not want to take it on, but there's some talk about quantum computers coming, and I just wonder where that stands and if you had a basic idea of how improved they'd be over what we have now.
Well, first, yes, there are quantum computers. The big thing is you're not going to have to worry about it personally for a long time because they're very, very, very expensive. They're basically the next level up from supercomputers. So you're not going to see them in the homes for a very long time. They are really designed to do scientific research and stuff like that.
And I think most of them, even the best ones, are only at like 6-bit.
Yeah, they're not.
And the rest of the world's at 128-bit.
Right. So they're not something you're going to have to deal with individually. You do have to worry about them because they can be used to break encryptions.
So today's encryption might be broken in 20 years by a quantum computer then.
Right. And actually, as opposed to 100,000 years, which it would take for a regular computer.
But we're seeing that right now with the LastPass breach.
Right.
That's right.
People's passwords are getting broken because the encryption 20 years ago wasn't enough.
Yeah.
And it's being broken, brute force broken by today's computers.
Right. And again, you'll see that with quantum computing. So that's why we say, 128-bit and 17 characters or more, and et cetera, et cetera. Quantum computing for you is not something you're going to have to deal with for a while.
Right. Well, it's not something that I dread if they're better. It's just that your show and part of the industry you're in is really trying to clean up the messes that current computers have with their being so easily hacked and so much data stolen on at least a daily basis. And it's really quite an ordeal.
We don't need quantum computers for that. That's happening now already. Although I just wondered what happens if we mix quantum and AI. Google's already doing it.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Well,
new buzzwords. Mix every buzzword together.
Oh, you've answered my question, and thanks so much.
Thanks, Gary.
Keep doing what you're doing.
We will. We will. Thank you.
Yep.
Keep pledging and keep listening. Oh, what? Pledging? Yes, we are in the midst of a pledge drive. We would be honored and delighted if you would call 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Talk to the lovely and talented Cheryl, and she will be happy to take your pledge. If you don't like talking to a human being, although Cheryl is a lovely one, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Just remember to tell them it's for sound bites. while you do that, this is the deal. You do that, we will talk to Brian from Rochester, New York. Hi, Brian, what's up?
Well, I have two questions for you today.
Yeah.
The first is, I believe it was a week or 2 weeks ago, you mentioned about a particular place to get Raspberry Pi.
Yes.
What outfit was that?
It was called Canakit, CANAKIT.com.
Okay.
And you can go on the Soundbites main page, and there's some important links. The last and not least of the some important links is the show links, where you can search all of the previous links that we've put up on things that we've talked about.
Great. Thank you. Now, my other question for you is, I'm running Linux, and yeah. I'm interested in a crypto suite, something that has like AES 256, SHA 512, and stuff of that caliber.
Yeah.
What ones would you suggest?
I'm sorry, you wanted a crypto what?
A crypto suite.
Oh! For doing what Linux. Specifically?
Well, definitely for files, and maybe for doing the disk.
All right. There's a number of.
Isn't there one built in?
There's one built in. excuse me. I beg your pardon. There's a couple that are built into Linux itself.
Okay.
If you want it, you know, geez and crackers, learn to type.
I keep getting a crypto wallet in my search results. And we don't want crypto wallet. We just want general encryption, right?
Right. There are management tools. There's things like crypt setup and things like that. One of the things you can do, what version of Linux are you running?
Mint.
I believe that has a program called Disks, which is GNOME Disk something.
Okay.
And I believe you can encrypt that. Why am I not seeing this? Guess you can't do that. Okay, maybe you can't.
OpenSSL is built in, and you can do AES 256 encryption with it.
OpenSSL, okay.
So that's the secure socket layer that does encrypting internet traffic that leaves your computer. But I'm seeing command lines here where you can do your own encryption on your own files locally.
Right. You can use any of those to set up an encryption. An encrypted file system. So generally when you set up Linux the first time, one of the things it suggests to you is, do you want to encrypt your home directory?
Okay.
If and when you do that, you will then have to unlock it each time you log in.
Okay.
But once you've done that, it's unlocked. It does make backing up and a couple of other operations a little more difficult, because you're going to run into that unlock question a lot.
Okay.
But it also makes it more secure, particularly if you've got a laptop that you take around with you.
Yes.
Right. That's the sort of thing where you've got to say to somebody, I really need to be encrypting this in case anybody happens to get in on it.
It also makes having a good backup more important, because in addition to forgetting your password and losing your data, you know, so encryption means no one can get your data without the password, not even you.
Right.
But quite frequently, we have seen corruption on disks, you know, directory corruption, you know, fat table corruption that's so common on disks. On an encrypted disk, that can render the entire disk unreadable.
Mm-hmm.
Because the decryption won't work anymore. So on the Mac, when you go to set up a Time Machine backup drive, it asks if you want to encrypt it. So people are always asking, should I encrypt my backup? Our short answer is no. It's because if you lose your backup, you need your backup because your main computer is gone. If you lose your backup, too, because the encryption doesn't work anymore.
You're hosed,
yeah. So encrypting a laptop might be a good idea because you travel places with it, but your backup back home that you keep safe at home probably shouldn't be encrypted,
right?
Just in case something goes wrong.
Well, let me ask you this then. You mentioned OpenSSL, and I've also heard of one called GNUPG.
Yeah, GNUPG is
pretty good privacy.
Right, that's PGP.
Yeah.
Pretty good privacy. Uh-huh. And GPG is GNUPG. They just reverse the letters.
Mm-hmm.
And that will encrypt all kinds of things, including individual files. And then there is, you can format a disk with the eCryptFS, the encryption file system. And I believe Mint has that. I know Ubuntu has it, and I think Mint at least, Debian is based on Debian. So there are ways to do it, and once you've done it, again, I did that to one of my Raspberry Pis just as a test.
Mm-hmm.
It works great, but again, you have the mild annoyance, and it is really very mild.
Okay.
That says, you know, when you log in, you have to unlock
mm-hmm.
your home directory, or you can't use it. And like I said, it makes backing up and et cetera, a little more convoluted. But again, obviously, I wouldn't necessarily use it for my home machine, but for a laptop that I carry around, sure, absolutely. It's the best way to keep things encrypted. Use AES-256 and a good, long, complex password, and you should be in pretty good shape.
All righty. Well, thank you very much for your help.
Yep. Good luck with that.
Have a good day.
Have fun.
Will do.
I really do. Oh, we have had more people who have pledged. Thank you very much to Jim and to William. Thank you both very, very much for your pledges. Yes, we are in the midst of a pledge drive. It's what keeps this station on the air, and this station is what keeps this show on the air. So if you want to continue to see this, if you're on YouTube, to this show every week, the best way to do that is to pledge to the station. And the way you pledge to the station is one of two ways. You can call in 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. And the other way is to pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Both of those ways, there are lots of levels of membership. If you want t-shirts or clothing of some sort, or caps and mugs and all kinds of things. But, you know, in this economy, I get it. So, in these parlous economic times, maybe you can only afford $20, $10. We'll take it. Well, you know,
there's no wrong amount.
It's not right. It's not about how much you pledge. It's about supporting the station. So make the call and make the pledge.
Ironically, that's kind of how the bad guys work too. We don't need $1 million from 10 people. We'll take $10 from 10 million people.
Thank you for mentioning that at this time.
Well, so every little bit helps, and you don't have to worry that your contribution won't
be
helpful.
Yeah, something wrong with it just because you can't afford, you know, hundreds or thousands of dollars. Yeah. Even the, you know, $5 or $10 memberships that do, say, pay each month with the
Jazzomatic is what I was going to talk about. Yeah, we have a thing called Jazzomatic for a minimum of $10 a month. You can make it any amount over that you want. $10 a month, we take it out of your account with your permission, of course, for a year, and then it ends. And it's $10 a month, but it's $120, and you get the $120 level premium. So it's a little bite every month that ends up being a big bite for us, and it's a great choice.
Bottom line, it all helps to keep us on the air.
So when you make that call and talk to the lovely and talented Cheryl, ask her about Jazzomatic. And while you do that, we'll talk to Larry from Rochester, New York. Hi, Larry. What's up?
Good afternoon, guys. I was the other night tooling around on my Mac, and I went into my iCloud account, and I almost bit for iCloud Mail, but I backed out and started to compare, say, iCloud Mail to Gmail to my old rochester.rr.com email account, which I still have. And I'm wondering, is there any advantage to having iCloud Mail, you know, that I couldn't really see any and having three accounts. So just curious, and thank you for being there. I'm a member, and I will listen offline.
That's what we like to hear, Larry. The fact that you're a member, not that you're listening offline. Thank you very much. all right, I'll start. There is little to no advantage of one email address company over another, except that if you are fully in the Apple ecosystem, having things match is not a bad thing. And it's easier to set up your tablet, your laptop, your phone, your desktop, all with the same email in the ecosystem. But you can do exactly the same thing with Gmail or anything else. One thing about Gmail is you get 15 gigs of storage for your email and everything else, and you only get 5 on iCloud.
We find most people are already
for
paying.
Free.
Yeah, most people are already paying the 99 cents a month for 50 gigs so they can sync their photos.
Right, right.
And so, in general, mail is small unless you pass a lot of photos through the mail.
Right. Right, and a lot of people do.
Yeah.
There's two. There's other. We should continue to mention this. If you are a Pixel user, at the moment at least, you have unlimited picture storage. If you are an Amazon Prime user, you have unlimited picture storage. You should be taking advantage of those things at least as backups. At the very least as backups. Mm-hmm. I now have my photos in three places. They're on my desktop. Well, I've got them in like 8 or 9 places, but the three easiest places to get to are my desktop, my Google Drive, well, my Google Photos, actually, and Amazon Photos. Since I'm already paying, you know, my wife owns a coffee business, and I don't say I own it. Believe me, I don't. And we pay Amazon shipping for the stuff we order. So we're paying the Amazon Prime to begin with, which means I get music, I get movies, yada, yada, yada. But the single most important thing that most people don't take advantage of is unlimited picture storage with Amazon Photos. You put it on your phone. Every time you take a picture, it backs it up to Amazon. You're done. In my case, it backs it up to Google and to Amazon. And then every night I download all the new pictures to my desktop and I'm done.
That's one thing we have stressed for years now is, you know, documents and all that other stuff, that can always be recreated. The photos are something that can't.
Right.
And once they're gone, folks, they're gone.
Right. So please make sure that when you set up your phone or your desktop or whatever, you think about the photos that you're taking and whether or not they're important to you. And that's what it comes down to. Are the pictures you take important?
You know one good way to make your wife laugh?
Yes, I do. Oh, you're talking about something else. Go ahead.
No, you hold her hand. You look into her eyes. Say, I'm the boss of this family.
Yeah. She'll either laugh or hit you with a frying pan. Those are your choices right there. All right.
I heard that one, and it's like, yeah, that's the truth.
Right. We'd like to thank Bob for his donation. Thank you very much, Bob. We appreciate that. And we're going to go back to the phones. We got a couple of minutes to talk to Ed from Ithaca.
To finish up on Larry's call, if you already have an email address, we had mentioned earlier, it's not a bad idea to have another one with another service. Yep. And if you're already in the Apple ecosystem with iCloud services, you might as well get an Apple iCloud address as well. And they coexist in your mail app along with your Google email and your Outlook email and Fastmail and Yahoo Mail
there
and every other mail.
Yep. It's absolutely true. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Ed from Ithaca, New York. Hi, Ed. What's up?
Hi, guys. I am a member, and I urge
Thank
other
you.
People to join as well.
Thank you.
I've got a MacBook, an older one. It's running 10.14.6. And I want to get an app that requires at least 10.15. And when I look at upgrading, the only upgrade it seems to allow is to 11.7.1. And I don't know if upgrading that much is going to mess up anything I already have that I'm using Apple iTunes or not.
You are very wise to think that. Too many people aren't thinking that, and we're actually in the Mac world. We're going through the Sonoma upgrade now. We've already had like three people come in and say, my QuickBooks doesn't work with Sonoma. What do I do? Buy the new version of QuickBooks or downgrade your computer back to the previous version.
Or go to a free one
or,
like yes, Money Dance.
Switch programs, yep. So one of the annoying things that happened in the Apple world is they changed their version numbering. So they went from 10.15 to 11.
Uh-huh.
So 10.14, 10.15, then instead of 10.16, they went to 11. And now it's 12, 13, and 14.
Right.
So the system upgrade option is giving you the latest upgrade that will work on your computer. There are ways to download previous versions, and I am looking for that list now to post. But the short answer is you need to go to every third-party program you have, especially Microsoft and Quicken, QuickBooks, Adobe, things like that. It's every third-party program. And check with them to see if it's compatible with the new OS.
Okay. I think the only third-party programs I have are LibreOffice and iTunes.
LibreOffice, well, iTunes is not a third party. That's an okay, Apple
right. Right, but
program.
iTunes as a name doesn't exist anymore.
Right,
iTunes had a problem over the last 20 years. It's grown too big. It did music and apps and books and movies and TV shows and everything. So they've split it out starting in System 10.15. They split it out into the music app, the TV app, the podcast app, the book app. So all the features are still there. That's just not called iTunes anymore. Most people still call the music app iTunes because it's been iTunes for 20 years.
Right.
And it has the same icon with the treble clef on it.
Okay.
So that will get updated automatically when you go to the new version.
And you may need to upgrade LibreOffice, but it's free.
Yeah.
So that's not a real problem.
Right. So if I just want to go to 10.15, how do I do that?
I'm posting a link now, but basically you Google download previous Mac OSs, and you want to make sure you find the one that is at Apple, because there's a lot of third-party places that don't necessarily have the official Apple installers.
Right. Okay. So it sounds straightforward.
It can be until there's a problem. People always ask us, can I upgrade myself? Sure, until there's a problem you can't answer. We always recommend having a good backup first. So in case there is a problem, you can restore from your backup. But in general, if you don't have many third-party programs, it should be fairly simple. You got to have enough free disk space on your computer, 30 to 40 gigs minimum. Then the installer usually checks.
All right, I'm sorry, we got to go.
Thank you very much.
We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is the top of the hour. We are Soundbites. This is member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece, Rochester. A public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
On Facebook at Jazz 901 FM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm David Knight.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And in 5 minutes after the hour, we're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. What's that? Member-supported, you say?
Yep.
Why, that must mean that we are supported by members. Yes, it's true, we are. And we are in the midst of a pledge drive. And let me just thank the people who were kind enough to pledge in the first hour. Friend of the show, D. Absolutely. Bill, Jim, William, and Bob, thank you very much for your generous donations. We appreciate them very much. And
keep us on the air.
And it's you who keep us on the air, and we hope that each and every one of you will also join in with those people and make your call and make your pledge. You can pledge two different ways. One is to pledge securely online at jazz901.org. But if you'd like to talk to the lovely and talented Cheryl, you can call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. And she will also pass you on to us if you'd like to ask a computer question, just like she did both of those things for Bob. Hi, Bob. What's up?
Hi. I've got an issue with a thing called BitLocker.
Oh, yeah.
I'll give you a little bit of history. This past week, Windows 11, you know, comes in and with their update. And usually in the morning, my computer is all rebooted and the update has been installed. Well, this past week, it looked like they tried to reboot, but it... the power got turned off for some reason. I'm not sure why the power got turned off. But anyhow, I turned the power on to reboot the system, and I got a blue screen that said, BitLocker, please enter your key.
Right.
Okay, and I go, oh, my God, what is that? So... read further down, and they actually told me the URL to go to, and they said log into your Microsoft user ID and password, and you can retrieve your key. And I thought, oh my God, I've had so many problems with Microsoft that account. I'll probably never get by this. Well, I did get in. And there's a key there, 48 digits.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Entered it in, and, you know, it booted up fine. Now, just for the heck of it, I said, I'm going to just turn my system off and see if I get this again. Sure enough, I got the same thing. Enter BitLock key. Now I knew I had it. I had written it down now. So I was able to get by it. I'm not sure what's going on now. It's a fairly new computer, 3 months old. It's an all-in-one, HP, high-end. It's got a solid-state hard drive. And I don't know, that's about all I can tell you about it. So I'm not sure. I'm just puzzled why I'm getting that.
Well, it's a little... backstory. So BitLocker is Microsoft's encryption program. We were talking about encryption earlier.
Okay.
And it apparently turns out that with Windows 11, BitLocker is on by default.
Right.
Without asking you. And so it encrypts your drive so no one can get to the data without the key.
Okay.
Not even you.
Okay.
It shouldn't be asking for it on every boot. That usually means there's something wrong with the TPM module on your logic board. The trusted platform module. I'm trying to see if there's a way to turn off BitLocker and decrypt the whole drive so it stops asking again.
There is. you should back up all of your data just in case, because we're talking Windows.
Yep.
Right, right.
So if that key doesn't work, you can't get into any of your data.
Absolutely. I know. That's why I panicked at first. But
right. So make sure you've got a backup that is not encrypted.
I do, but it's probably a month old.
Well, whatever you want to do, but make sure you've got a good backup.
Yeah.
And then
I have a data backup. I don't have a system backup.
Well, you don't really want a system backup anyway.
Oh, okay.
Because you're just going to back up the problem you're having now.
Yeah, okay.
So what's important to you is the data. If you have to reinstall Windows 11, you've got a key, you've got all of that, you can do that easily.
Okay.
But what you do is from the Windows Start button, you type BitLocker, and then there's a choice to manage BitLocker.
Oh, okay.
Which you can, and then you enter the BitLocker drive encryption menu and select turn off BitLocker.
Okay.
So once, again, first make sure you have an unencrypted backup. That is the most important thing for your data. And then turn off BitLocker and cross your fingers.
Okay. Yeah, I'm okay. I'm a backup because I'm a backup freak. So.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I've got two other computers, and they're all mirrors of each other. So,
good.
Yeah, I'm okay there. As long as I never back up the system.
No, there's no need to. Because if something's corrupt, you don't want to be backing that up and then just reinstalling it, and your program start all over again, causing you problems.
Right.
Right.
And I can install all of my apps.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, I will try that.
All right. Good luck.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yep.
And so now that Windows 11 is doing BitLocker by default, so encryption in general is a good idea to keep people out, but it's so easy for something to go wrong and keep you out too. That makes having a backup even more important.
And make sure it's an unencrypted backup. And remember, if you haven't yet restored any data from your backup, you don't have a backup.
Look at your backup every now and then. I've told the story before, but we had a customer that their drive crashed and they lost their Quicken data file. And so he brought in the stack of CDs that he'd been backing up onto, and turns out everyone had a shortcut to the Quicken application.
Yep.
Which was not what he wanted. He wanted his data file. But he did go back in and make sure it worked. He put that backup disk back in, clicked on the file.
And up came
Quicken and all his data because it was a shortcut to the application.
Right.
So it worked, but it wasn't his data file. And hopefully you can back up your actual data and not just shortcuts.
Yep. We would like to thank Fred for his donation and for his suggestion that the three of us should get a 40% raise. I agree with you, by the way.
I'll go for 30.
Well, you take 30. I'll take your extra 10.
No, I'll give it back to the station.
There's an idea. There's a good idea. All right, we're going to go back to the phones. Our next caller is Dave from Canandaigua, New York. Hi, Dave. What's up?
Howdy, gentlemen. I run a Zoom session a few times a week for a small nonprofit. And first I have a tip, and then I'll tell you my problem. I'm using an IP camera, and I was using OBS Studio to get the IP camera signal into the Zoom session. The problem with doing it that way is that there would always be about maybe a half, three quarters of a second delay between the sound and the video. What I discovered is use a program called IP Camera View, which is an old Windows program. And there's like maybe a tenth of a second delay. I mean, it's almost indistinguishable. So I just use my screen share in order to put all that out into the Zoom session with almost undetectable sync between the sound and the video. However.
Yeah, I knew there was a however somewhere. Yeah.
Good old Windows. Okay. It had an old installation of Windows that I always, it always wanted to update while I'm in the middle of a session or whatever. Well, eventually it did an update, and it basically mutilated the installation. So I downloaded a fresh copy of Windows 10, installed it, and everything's working fine. See, the other part of this is that I'm not always the one to run the Zoom session. I've made up a little how-to booklet so that anybody can fire up the computer and do everything that needs to be done and all that.
Right.
I can't get IP camera viewer to launch at startup. I've tried about a dozen, maybe six different things that I got off of web pages. And I think it's probably impossible. Microsoft has locked it down that you can't run a program that doesn't do blah, blah, blah. Maybe.
Interesting. It's supposed to work with 11. It's supposed to work with 10. 8, 7.
2,000 different camera models.
Right.
You could try other software. I've used Anycam and Ecamm. So during the...
Okay.
During the rise of podcasting, and during the pandemic, a lot of programs came out to manage webcams as a computer camera because there was such a shortage of computer cameras. But a lot of people had IP cameras.
Right.
But should work according to what their website is saying.
I mean, it works okay, but I have to launch IP camera viewer separately. Everything else, comes up at startup. But I just can't make it launch automatically.
Well, are the others all running through the same... they're not running separate programs, are they?
Well, I'm running Zoom, and I am still running OBS. And I'm running IP camera. But I can't get IP camera to load at startup, even though I put it in my startup directory. There was I tried it with the scheduler. There was a bunch of. I didn't try going into the to the. Getting old, man.
Welcome to the club.
You ain't supposed to, it's supposed to get the place you don't want to get into unless you know what you're doing.
Registry.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
I've done a lot of things in the registry, but. If it doesn't work anywhere else, I suspect it's going to work there anyway. I don't know, understand why. Anyway, I just thought I'd see if there was some trick you guys knew, but I'll keep poking it. I'll try one of those other programs to see if that works.
OBS should be able to view an IP camera without
a separate
program.
It works, but the problem is by the time it gets...
Oh, with the... Right, the
It's the syncing, right. And there are programs that supposedly will sync the sound and the video.
Yeah.
But I tried, though. I haven't gotten them to work yet,
See, I used to use Zoom through OBS to YouTube and didn't run into that problem of being out of sync.
But you're not using an IP camera. Because there's a lag between the IP camera...
Yeah, I was using my local computer cam to feed into Zoom, but then all of the remote Zooms were coming back.
Yeah, but it deals with those. It's not dealing with the IP cam.
The one thing, maybe what would help him is this. I got a USB to audio jack, eighth inch audio jack. And when I do the Mastermind Lounge sessions, I feed my... USB audio to the headphone jack.
Oh.
So it's looping through the computer. Maybe that's why it's staying in sync.
Yeah. Because it knows about doing it through there.
So my input device is my USB plug and play, and my output device is the headset or the headphone jack. It's in Mastermind Lounge, and that's why we used to do it in Zoom too. And then OBS just grabs that directly.
Yeah, I've got a mixer. Full sound system. We got microphones and stuff scattered around the room, and I'm actually taking the audio out of the sound system into the USB of the computer in order to get out to Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
And everything works right. I mean, if you're logged into Zoom for this, you hear everything as good as I see it on my host screen. Like I say, it's only a tenth of a second or less.
Right.
But
there
anyway,
is.
May I ask a question?
Yeah.
You can buy a decent camera for $20 that's just plain USB, which OBS should read directly instantly.
That's what I'm running right here now.
So why not just spend the $20?
The only place I can put this is in the back of the room. The camera,
the cable,
the camera
yeah.
in question's got pan, tilt, and zoom, so I can zoom right. into different sections. I can, you know, there's tricks I need to do that you can't really do with a USB camera unless right. you got $1,000 budget.
You can add a delay in OBS so that you can sync the audio and video.
I'll have to look at that one.
It's part of the microphone and video settings. There's a delay setting.
I never saw that because I poked around. I'll have to look for that. I'll look at some other program because, like I said, I mean, everything works right. I just have to launch that one program. It won't launch automatically. And if somebody that's not experienced is trying to do this, you know, it's easy to get tripped up or whatever.
I have a list of things that I have to do, and sometimes I miss something on my own list.
One thing you might try is creating a batch file that starts all three of those things simultaneously. Well, one after the other.
I did create a batch file, and I can't remember if it was AutoExecBat or something.
Well, you can call it anything you like, and you just say, like, start session. Not bad. Yeah. It doesn't matter what you name it. And the point is it would start Zoom, it would start OBS, and it would start IP camera viewer.
Right. I'll try that one again.
You might have to put pauses in between.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah,
so
right.
In the settings on that audio and video window in OBS, you should be able to add a delay.
Well, I mean, starting one program after the other,
right.
you know, even if you give it a few seconds.
And which one you start first, you got to do a little.
Because sometimes some of them need, you know, at least enough time to register with the system that it's starting up.
Right. You probably want to start OBS.
Yep.
Or maybe you want to start IP camera viewer first, then OBS.
Yeah, I found my cameras have to be connected before I load OBS.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Well, plenty to play with. Thank you.
There you go. Have fun. Before we get to our next caller, I want to thank Ed for his donation. Thank you very much. Yes, we are in the middle of a pledge drive. It is your dollars, your generous support, that keeps this show and this station broadcasting. And the only way that we do that, because we don't get government money, we don't get state money, we don't get federal money, we don't get any of that stuff. What we get are donations from people. When we say member supported, we ain't kidding. That's how we get our money. And that means you. That means you. And you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Or you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Talk to the lovely and talented Cheryl. She will be happy to take your information. Talk to her about Jazz-O-Matic and what that can do for you. And while you do that, we will talk to Jim from Brighton, New York. Hi, Jim. What's up?
Hi, fellas. I used to have a link for Dave's notes, and it doesn't work anymore. I'm wondering, is that on the same page where you vote for your options?
What do you mean by Dave? Sorry, what is this link for?
Sorry, again?
What was the link that you used to have for?
I still can't understand what you said.
I'm sorry. The link that you can't find anymore.
I think they're called Steve's Notes. They're things that he would put together that were talked about.
Show links. Yeah, that's on the Soundbites Maiden page at the bottom of the list of some important links.
Yeah, if you go to the main page and scroll down, you will see the latest links heard on the show. And that's where all the newest stuff is that Steve posts every day. You have to refresh the page and see the latest thing. But if you want to search the show links, there just above that is a link that says search the show links. We're not Google. Lower your expectations significantly. But you can see the latest links, and we put whatever it is, 5 or 10 or.
And I just found a link on the 10. OBS support forums on someone who fixed their Zoom delay problem. So I posted that link.
There you go. So you can, one of the things you got to do is scroll down, but it's all there. So below the section on some important links is the section on latest links heard on the show. And those are, you'll see the last 10 there, and you can go to the bottom of that page and see the previous, all the links heard on the show. Or you can search the links, the last choice under some important links is search the show links, and you can search for something you may have missed. Currently, we have 250 links in our database, so you may well find something that you need already in there. But those are all on the main page, soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you.
Very good. Thanks very much, fellas.
All right. Thank you. We'd like to thank Larry for his generous donation. Thank you, Larry. We've had a number of people who were kind enough to donate to the station, and we are in the middle of a pledge drive. It is twice a year. We come to you, and it's always a sweat. I get it. Look, people don't have the money they used to have, and life is what it is, and I absolutely get that. But if this show is indeed important to you, if it gives you information that you like, if it's enjoyable to you every week, if it gives you a respite from the world for a couple hours on a Saturday, that should be worth a little bit of cash. So make the call, make the pledge, or pledge online at jazz901.org. It takes less than 2 minutes, even if you're a slow typist. It might take longer if you get into a lovely conversation with Cheryl, because she's a great conversationalist, but it won't take terribly long, and you can give her a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free, 800-790-0415.
I kind of have the feeling, and I hope I'm not wrong, but I mean, for the past 14 years, you know, we've been coming to you folks twice a year, and you've been there for us. And there's been times where times have been tough, but, you know, in the 33 years that we've been on, we've been here for you every Saturday. And like Nick said before, we don't get paid for this. The three of us enjoy talking about computers. That's why we started it back way back when with Bob Smith, God rest his soul.
God love him.
And found that there was a need. And, oh, guess what? We had fun with it. And we've had fun with you folks. You know, we might pick on you folks once in a while and say, oh, yeah, it's for a friend. Wink, wink. You know, but we make light of it. Because our philosophy has always been, and especially mine, I had it in my tagline for the longest time, was the only dumb question was the one that you didn't ask. Because we love the challenges. And unlike other programs, we do it live. We're getting you answers right here and now. We don't say, all right, well, tell you what, call us back next week or listen next week and we might have your answer back on there.
Yeah, a lot of the shows, you call in and leave your question on an answering machine.
And they look it up.
We're out here walking the tightrope every week.
Yeah, we do it without a net. And, you know, do we get it right all the time? No.
No.
We're only human, too. But we have a heck of a lot of fun. And folks have said that to us. It sounds like, have told us, you know, it sounds like you guys are having way too much fun. Well, yeah, that's the whole purpose of doing the show, so we can have some fun every Saturday.
What do you think we have in our bottles here?
Yeah.
And the other kicker is it's right in the middle of a Saturday. Think about it. Rob took a big risk in saying, all right, we're going to put a talk program on a jazz station on a Saturday at noon.
Although if I wasn't here, I'd probably have to be at work, so I kind of like being here.
And I mean, we have a lot of fun working retail. And we teach you folks, hopefully, and you teach us. Yep. I mean, we've learned from some of you folks and some of the advices that you've given us as far as tips or trips you know, to do certain stuff.
Yeah, that's my favorite part when people call in and answer the questions for us. But this is where we need you. We need you to make that call and make that pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or pledge securely online right now at jazz901.org. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 30 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites, and this is member-supported Jazz 90.1. Do your part. We'll be right back.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 38 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we'd like to thank Scott for his donation. Thank you so much, Scott. Listen, what is this donation business? Well, we're in the midst of a pledge drive. We come to you twice a year to help keep this station on the air. That is exactly what we're doing here. We don't get government grants. We don't get state grants. We don't get local grants. We don't get any of those grants. We get money from our members. When we say member supported, we ain't kidding. And that's what this is about. Twice a year we come to you. If you value this show, if you like the information you get, if you like the fun we all have, if you like the jokes, if you just like listening to us fall on our faces, make that call. You can pledge securely online at jazz901.org, or you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll free 800-790-0415. The lovely and talented Cheryl will be happy to take your pledge and then pass you on to us if you have a question. Or pass you on even if you didn't make a pledge. But we would prefer, of course, that you make a pledge at some point. And we would like to thank Dan and Judith for their generous donations. Thank you so much. We get it. Yeah. The world is what it is these days, and it's not conducive to, you know, reaching into your pocket and throwing a few $100 at us twice a year. I get that. But it's every penny counts. There are an awful lot of people who listen to this show, an awful lot of them. And most of you don't pledge. And if you pledged any amount, $10, $5, we'd be well on our way to making our goal. But most of you don't pledge. And so the special thanks go out to the few of you, statistically few, who actually do make the pledge and make the call and keep this station on the air and keep supporting our show. We're honored and delighted to be here every week for you. We don't get paid to do this. We don't get paid to be here. And quite frankly, the middle of a Saturday is a little annoying, but we're happy to be here for you. Rob, again, as we've said several times today, took a heck of a chance throwing a computer talk show in the middle of a jazz station. And so far it's paid off, but it only pays off when you pledge. That's what helps keep this station on the air. You know, 14 years ago, didn't take a lot of money to run a station.
Mm-mm.
Takes a lot more now. So we need your help. We need your support.
Energy costs are going up. Matter of fact, they just announced that they're going to raise rates again.
Everything's going up. 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or pledge securely online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year at jazz901.org.
And that's not like this is some big lavish studio either. I mean, we're tucked away in the corner of a school. If any of you folks have come to the open house, you'd notice that, you know, it's very conservative for what we do each week to come to you folks in a very small space.
And last night's open house was a great success.
It was great.
I got
the Herb Smith Trio was wonderful.
Yes. I got a little amused by the tours they were giving.
Yeah.
So you can stand here, you point that way, you point that way, you point that way, you point that way.
You've hit it.
You've hit everything.
That's the studio.
That's the station. Yeah, it's not.
In fact, when I saw how many cars were in the parking lot, I think, wow.
Where are they going to put all those people?
Oh, okay, it's in the library.
Yeah, right. but it truly is a small operation with big consequences, and that's thanks to you. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about how you really need to make that call and make that pledge, and that's very true. But we should take a moment to respect and thank each and every person who has made that call and made that pledge. And they're carrying a lot of you out there, and you should make that call and make that pledge as well. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. It only takes a couple of minutes, whether you call Cheryl or you do it online. It just takes a couple of minutes of your time. You'll feel good. Your teeth will be whiter. You'll be more attractive to whichever sex you prefer to be attracted to. And not all of those statements are true. And while you do that...
It may not reflect the views of WXXI.
Nor Rob Litton.
Yeah, Rob Litton, English Community Broadcasting Partners.
W what now?
Wow.
Where'd no kidding.
No, because your story last night is still sticking with me.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm sure it doesn't reflect with them either.
Right. We were talking last night about how all of this got started. And if we have time, I'll go through some of that again. But in the meantime, we'll talk to James from Rochester, New York. What's up, James?
Oh, yes, Nick. I've been a member for 3 years. By the way, the $120 is only 33 cents a day.
Truth. There you go. Thank you, James.
It's on that yellow sign behind the lamp.
Yep. 33 cents a day.
33 cents, we're all better looking, according to Nick.
Exactly.
The deal of the century. Anyway, I'm about to run the sea cleaner, and I haven't run it in about a year. I noticed I've slowed up a little bit. When I'm looking at the sea cleaner list here, they list Microsoft Edge, Chromium, Explorer. If I want to save my passwords, will that save them or does that erase them?
If you delete the application, it will delete the passwords and everything else.
So I'll just have to re-enter them one time again.
Yes, or just not delete those programs.
How do you do that? They list like internet cache, the history, cookies.
But none of that is your passwords.
Right. So you can delete the cookies and you can delete the cache.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't delete the passwords. It probably isn't giving you that choice.
Oh, I do see saved passwords, and it's not checked.
Well, yeah, you want to save passwords, so check saved passwords.
Well, make sure what it's asking. Is it saying delete saved passwords? So
no,
it should be unchecked.
It just lists, like if you want to, like the cookies would have a check mark.
Yeah, so you check mark the things you want to delete.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So uncheck saved passwords because you don't want to delete them.
Right.
Yeah. All right, I didn't check them, but the list they already give you, they list the basics, I guess, to erase the history.
The most common things, probably,
right.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, the choices they give you are the smart ones, so just leave them alone.
Leave them alone, and so that automatically sort of saves my passwords.
It leaves your passwords in the system, yes.
Oh, okay. And I know when I start going back on the internet, it's like almost the first time again to get the memory so the next time you go in it, they remember, sort of.
Right, exactly. It'll save your passwords, but you'll once again... See, the cache keeps things like pictures.
Right? Of the website, not yours.
Right, of the website. So if there's a logo on the website,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, if you go to the Jazz 90.1 site, you'll see the 50-year logo or the clothing you can get or the albums that you can see.
Uh-huh.
So those are all pictures that would get loaded into the cache so you don't have to load them a second time.
In the very early days of the internet with telephone dial-up modems, the internet was really, really slow.
Right.
So it would save all those little pictures because it was faster to show them from your computer than to try to download them again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Nowadays, with the internet being so fast and websites change so frequently, the cache is probably almost never used.
Right. So you can easily, you can safely delete the cache, but that is not the same as your saved passwords.
Yeah, so the things they have checked, you're pretty safe with.
Right, exactly right.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, James. We appreciate it. What? I didn't hear him. Sorry. We'd like to thank Val. Thank you very much for your donation. We're in the middle of a pledge drive, and the first week is always a little grim. I admit that. But we'd like to thank everybody who was kind and generous enough to pledge. And it's not over. You've got about another 15 minutes to pledge during the show. But you can pledge 24/7 online at jazz901.org and just scroll down until you see the stuff for Soundbites and just check that. Make sure that you credit Soundbites for the donations.
So. And if on the thank you gift list, if you go down a little farther in the list, you see the one specifically for Soundbites.
Right.
The wireless charger is kind of cool. The backup battery is kind of cool.
They're all
kind of cool.
When I upgrade to the Pixel 7 Pro, I will be able to use that wireless
charger.
So I'm very excited about that. But you can get some pretty cool gifts. The wireless charger and the USB charger are very cool.
And you should also check on the Jazz Donate page. There is a button to check to see if the company you work for matches pledges. Many of local companies will match your pledges. So, the $100 you give us could turn into $200.
If
your company is among them.
So check for matching pledges. Every penny counts. All right, now I'll read this next news item. Hell hath no fury like a customer scorned, and Microsoft is now learning that again. After the tech company recently imposed storage limits for photos in a user's OneDrive account, Microsoft has now reversed course after receiving a barrage of backlash. In August, Microsoft announced that photos in a user's OneDrive gallery and in each of their saved photo albums would count separately toward the company's cloud-based limit of 5 gigabytes, which isn't enough to begin with, but okay, which is already ludicrously stingy. Thank you. I did write that. The update was expected to roll out on October 16th, which would force some users to encounter storage ceilings as the extra data were added to their OneDrive, preventing files from syncing. So what happened was, in the old days, if you had a picture and then said, I want this picture in a folder, it didn't count twice. But now if it's in OneDrive and you put it in a folder, Microsoft is saying that file would count twice. So you could easily run out of storage.
Yeah.
However, customers were surprised by this abrupt policy change. So surprised, in fact, that the company caved in to user backlash and recently announced that the change was no longer on the table.
On August 31st, 2023, we began to communicate an upcoming update to our cloud storage infrastructure that would result in a change in how OneDrive photos and photo album data is counted against your overall cloud storage quota, Microsoft said in an email to customers, which has also been posted to the company support page. This change was scheduled to start rolling out on October 16th, 2023, based on the feedback we received, which is a really polite way of saying that. We have adjusted our approach. We will no longer roll out this update.
The company has been clamping down on its storage offerings in recent months because, storage is so friggin' expensive and Microsoft doesn't make any stinking money.
That's why Google gives you 15 gigs.
That's right. The company has been clamping down on its storage offerings in recent months, beginning with the free version of Outlook. Microsoft changed an Outlook policy in February 1 that forced attachments on the email service to count toward the 5-gig OneDrive limit. Used to be that attachments in email didn't count. So people were sending themselves pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Duh, people are smart. For users, that meant if they reached the 5-gig limit on OneDrive, they were no longer able to send or receive emails on Outlook, which may be one of the problems that I think it was David was having, maybe not. until they reduced the number of files and attachments that they had saved. Generally speaking, it's a bad idea to take away something that users have come to rely on. I hope Google is listening to that. Every computer company has tried it at one time or another. Almost everyone has regretted it and reversed the decision. Do you save your photos on OneDrive? Where do you save your photos? Give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415.
Remember years and years and years ago when OneDrive was unlimited?
Oh, yes.
And some people started
taking advantage of that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, not taking advantage. Using Microsoft's advertised poly and staring hundreds and hundreds of terabytes of pirated videos, mostly.
Well, yeah, right. I have unlimited storage for sound bites, which also means I have unlimited storage for emails and everything. I mean, you can't separate them. So I have unlimited storage for that. My hosting company has said, oh, we're going to raise the unlimited price because some people are, I've got, what, 1,100 shows sitting up there right now.
They're less than 100 megs each. They're not really that big.
No, but I'm apparently not one of the big users, really.
Not a big
fish. 1,116 shows right now, soon to be 1,117. Steve uploads the show every week. You can download any show you like, going all the way back to 2001. Now, you may think we don't really need to go back to 2001, and you could be correct, but then again, you might not be. I'd rather have them online and pay for that, and okay.
And we're mad about the shows we're missing.
Yeah. We're very mad about the shows we're missing.
Before anyone thought to record them.
That's exactly right. But we've got over 1,100 shows and counting backed up right now. And, of course, we have our YouTube channel where they're also, since Steve has been putting them up on YouTube, you can go back and look at them there as well. Luckily, you can't go back 20 years on that one and see what we used to look like back when we had dark hair and hair in general.
Yeah.
The point here is that unlimited is not something that companies want to give you, but it is certainly something that each of us wants.
We used to have a lot of problems in our corporate customers. So typically we'd be working with the graphics department because that's where it was big for the Macs. And there'd be, in general, a 5 meg limit on email.
Right.
Which is a lot of email messages. But for a graphics arts department, that's not even one picture. So we kept telling the IT people, no, the graphic guys need more storage. Oh, they need 10 megs? No, how about 100 gigs?
Yeah, right.
They go in shock.
Yeah. One magazine layout could be terabytes.
Right.
50 pages of full color photographs right. of all of your products? Yeah. That's going to be big. Oh, mail can't handle that.
When I was at RIT, I probably shouldn't say this because it's probably still true. Or no, maybe not anymore. It used to be that I would tell my faculty they had 40 gigs of storage for mail. 40 gigs of storage. In truth, it was unlimited. Drives are cheap. And if people are saving real important data, why would I limit that? I had one person who is a photographer. She's amazingly good at photography. And she came to me and said, can I store some of my photos there? Absolutely. Because you asked.
Yeah.
I'll give you more storage. Yeah.
That wanted you to download the internet for them?
Well, there are several. Yeah, we've had those. Can you just download everything and
put it on this floppy disk?
Yeah, put it on a disk for me. No. But the thing is that people want instant access to their data, and whether that's pictures or mail or files they've created, they want that available to them. It doesn't. We had a guy who in 40 years of teaching, never deleted an email.
Hoarders.
Yep.
Well, yes and no.
Well, when you get advertisements for airlines and other advertisements.
Right.
You've got customers that don't want to go through their junk, so they just ignore it and then complain and they have 100,000 unread messages.
That's just being a hoarder.
Right. So, yes. So, the the would you like to go to lunch? Where do you want to go to lunch today? And that's three emails. How about here? No. How about here? No. How about here? That's one thing. Okay. You don't need to keep that. But important emails, why shouldn't you be allowed to keep them? They are important. That's the thing. So yeah, people want storage, and also people don't want to have to think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I have to go through my email and decide if each one is important, I have to do it every day. Otherwise, it's going to build up so much, I'm never going to do it. So why should I have to do it at all? So having unlimited storage is useful. You know, it's a bit of a burden for me, but it's important, I think, for, you know, posterity, if that's not too big a word for this sort of thing. Listen, let me thank each and every one of you who is kind enough and generous enough to pledge today. You don't have to wait till next week to pledge. You can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. The many, many, many of you who listen to the podcast or download the archive or watch the YouTube video during the week, you too can pledge online at jazz901.org. I want to thank Dave Enright. I want to thank Steve Ray. I want to thank each and every person who pledged. And the pledge drive is not over, so keep pledging. We will be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you in 166 hours.